if you're a guy like us, and we know we are, you know it's time for Live from the Five Hole, faxes from UncleDale.com, and the Sam Fels But Who's Buying Newsletters official weekly podcast. I am Sam Fels of said newsletter, and your host. You can find me on Blue Sky at FelsGate. We have another Bears win to talk about. We have Hawks wins to talk about. So, of course, we're in our usual fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Leading off with Dr. Viral, he is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 o'clock Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. He's Andrew Cieslak.
Blow me, suck me off, I'm here.
Suck dank. Or what was it?
Stunk dick.
Stunk dick. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician. He's our technical supervisor. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. It's Matt McClure.
Excited to debut my new segment tonight, Insights to Excellence.
In your beautiful palatial estate.
Indeed, and I'm drunk.
And last but not least, he is the goal line assassin. He's the archivist. He's the Oracle of Humboldt Park. You can't find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the dark. It's Fifth Feather John.
Ready for Baltimore, yo.
Baltimore.
Baltimore. Sorry.
Yo.
Yo.
Yo. Yeah. Well, all right, John, you want to start there? We can start there. We're coming to you after a Bears win, one that was attended by one Andrew Cieslak.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We need our live from the field report. So
we will get the live report.
Well, not okay. Live, that was your first game in how many years?
God. Half a decade more? I don't know. It's been a long time.
The field side the last report, one? We should say.
Yeah. You don't remember the last time you were in the building?
I remember some specific games I was at, but I cannot remember what the last one was, which is weird.
Well, I'm excited to hear about your live from the field report because the texts that were coming through on Sunday on the real show were outstanding. So hopefully there's more in the bag there.
Yeah, some unbelievably stupid people at this game.
Judging by the texts we got from Slack as he exited Soldier Field and headed home on the Metra.
I took a ride share.
Oh my god.
Metro was just, it's not as bad as it's really not that bad. It's, I am not that far, but
you have to take two Metras though. You'd have to change at Ogden.
I would have to get
Ogilvy, not Ogden.
Ogilvy and then to cab to the field or the venue from Ogilvy. So yeah, it wouldn't be smooth either way. So it was just like the schedule was not great on Sunday. So I was just like, get me home.
Not that any of this matters, but anyway, the impression I got from Slack's fieldside report and what I've read in the days since, I guess the Bears win doesn't count. They are not 4-2, they are 3-2, and then there's just an asterisk because not everything worked well, so it doesn't count.
And everybody's just unhappy all the time.
When did we get so stuck up in this city that we can turn down a win?
I don't understand, like, a lot of the, I'm in various conversations across the internet where people are agreeing with the things that, Sam, you've written in your newsletter numerous times about Bears media and their overwhelming know-it-all negativity, football terminology being used incorrectly all the time ways, never, ever breaking a scoop of any kind. Letting this Tyler Dunn story happen and somehow not knowing that any of this was occurring, obviously because it didn't, and then not refuting it, but just amplifying it instead. Like, we have the worst sports media in the world, I think. We must. And so that bleeds into the fan base who thinks that anything that doesn't look like prime Peyton Manning is bad. Bad quarterbacking. Bad everything. And it's like the psychoses we've gotten from Favre and Rodgers shoving it up our yin yang.
Giggy.
People think that that's what it has to look like.
Immediately.
People think that teams that are not the Bears, so-called good NFL teams, win every game easily with no struggle. They just win. It's easy. Everything looks good. No one ever makes a mistake. They don't get penalties called on them. They don't have turnovers. Everything's perfect if you're not the Bears. But if you're the Bears, it's the same thing with the training camp shit. Every year we talk about this. The beats, they're always like, this training camp looks like shit. What other training camps have you been to, asshole? None. You've only seen these. You don't know what you're talking about. They all look like this. Every NFL game looks like shit. That's what the league is now. The blob. It's a term. It's just... Anyway,
and it's bigger than ever this year. Yeah,
it is bigger than ever this year. And so the fans walking out of the stadium, you know, people behind me, the dumbest fucking OPPs you'll ever meet in your life, are just, you know, they should have done this. They should have done that. They should have done this. Like, you can barely speak English. What are you talking about? And you're from Jefferson Park, I assume, or something.
This and it guy was a game they won comfortably.
They won comfortably. They had a little hiccup.
Right. They had sweat for about 5 minutes.
And not even.
And I like
that. Not Montez, you know, sweat.
The perspective Ben Johnson put on that was much like the Minnesota game. We had a hot start and then let it slip away. But unlike the Minnesota game, we didn't let that define us, and we got back on track and won the game going away. Just to give you a context, the story I told in the chat, there were people, this guy behind me wearing a Bears jersey, talking about his parlays. Gets into a conversation.
Did he have an entire tin of Zin in his mouth while he was talking about his parlay?
I'm sure he did. I tried not to turn all the way around. Talking to a guy behind me on the other side. And of course, I'm always stuck behind these people who cannot
It's not just me, folks. I don't bring it out for Slack. He can do it without me.
They have these conversations at ear-splitting volume in the middle of a football game about how long they've been foreman, blah, blah, blah. And this guy's talking to the guy in the Bears jersey, and the guy says to the guy in the Bears jersey, he says, yeah, my wife got me and my kid tickets to the game week one against Minnesota. It was unbelievable. And the guy goes, oh, yeah, did they win? You don't know if they won the game?
That happened a month ago.
5 weeks ago? You're wearing a Bears jersey, sir. What world am I living in where this can be a possibility?
They're all amongst us, Andrew.
I don't understand human beings. I truly don't. I don't get it.
But you got thoughts on what the Bears should do on Sunday.
Yeah.
Correct.
I want to get back to the one thing before we get back to Andrew's reports. You know, the game got 24-14. It was the Saints never got the ball to ever take the lead again because the Bears had a response
drive. No, the Bears
kicked
a field goal, yeah.
Yeah, but they took it right down the field. It wasn't even like they were messing around. I mean, and I think I can't remember if that was the drive or if it was a drive later where they were going to go for it at fourth and goal at the one, and then there was the false start that.
Yep.
Best false start of the year.
Yeah. Was that the same drive? Because I think they probably would have scored a touchdown on that one. I'm not going to lie. I think that was going in.
If I may interject here, John. Yeah. That was the highlight of the game for me. Let me tell you why.
Go on.
Because I believe Moose Johnson on the call Sunday.
Oh, I was in the mute lounge, but go ahead.
Okay, so it was Moose.
It was Moose, yeah.
So the Bears have that false start, and they bring on Mike Pereira. And Moose wants to know why the Saints can't decline that, because now the Bears are being rewarded for their mistake because there was a false start, and they don't run the play, and they get to kick the field goal. And it's the only time I've ever seen Mike Pereira stare blankly at the camera. Because they have him in his little booth, right?
Yeah, right.
And he stares for like a couple seconds. He's like, well, it's a false start, so there's no play.
It didn't happen.
There's
That's
nothing
right.
There's nothing to decline and accept instead. It doesn't exist.
It's a dead ball. Like,
there's no...
Schrodinger's false start.
There's no like, oh, we'd rather take this. There is no this. It's a false start. Everything stops.
Did he make the basketball face?
Kind of. It's the only time Mike Pereira's had a personality. And I'm sitting there going, this is your analyst? He's like, oh, they should be able to decline this because now the Bears will be rewarded for a mistake. Like, decline what?
Christ.
You can't accept something that doesn't happen. It's fortuitous for the Bears in that they did snap the ball and they dropped the snap, but the snap in the scorebook never happened.
Right.
This was a game I had to watch on my own. My usual Bears partner was out of town, and I'm still on the couch going, "What are you talking about?"
So that falls into the category of guy who in a Bears jersey doesn't know what happened in week one, mm-hmm. which not only is it just like, okay, fine. Let's say you don't know the result of every Bears game, which is skeptical to me. I think you should not be allowed to wear a Bears jersey, quite frankly, if that's how you are, which is, again, there's nothing wrong with not knowing the score of every Bears game, but you shouldn't be allowed to wear a jersey. That's all. I'm a simple guy. That's just a rule.
Did you wear a jersey, Fleck?
I did not. No, okay. I'm 45 years old, Sam.
I have Bears jerseys.
Okay. I don't. Maybe I need to get one. I don't know.
Did you wear your Zubas?
I did not. But that game was not only the first game of the season, it was on national TV, it was on Monday night, and it was a catastrophic loss. Like, it was very embarrassing.
You'd have to go out of your way in the city of Chicago to not know what happened.
Like, what were you doing with your life? Were you in a coma? I just... Jesus Christ, man.
These were the construction workers that were yelling at McDonough to re-sign Andrew Shaw, right?
Must have been.
Sam.
They still think Andrew Shaw's in the league.
That's right. Clearly.
On top
you know,
of that,
I'm actually surprised because, like, if it were like a white collar, you know, the banker or stockbroker comes in and just throws his Bears jersey on and doesn't know what happened, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But when you say it's, you know, a foreman, a construction worker, you know, a little more blue collar, like, how does that?
It's disappointing.
I
can't. It's really disappointing.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing I've realized is that, you know, we went to Reggie's for pregame and post.
They got a good spread at Reggie's.
They do. They also just have – they're just wall-to-wall people. It's a sea of humanity in there.
Do they put you in the rock room or they put you in the club?
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
The rooftop's open, too.
The rooftop's open, too, warm, yeah.
Yeah, we're up there. I just
and you
did
have
not,
to ride the war wagon.
I've watched – well, we walked, but I've watched every game from home for years. I didn't realize how rabid these people are.
You walked from Reggie's? You didn't take their bus?
No, we just walked because we didn't want to wait for it.
It's not that far a walk.
It's not that far.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I didn't realize that there's so many of us stupid idiots who care about this dumb team. For some reason, it just feels not like
that's the number one team in town.
Well, I know that, but I just didn't really get the sense of it until I was among them.
Andrew rarely leaves his house, so this is...
Almost never. Right. I suppose you have to see it. I did the Reggie's experience for a Bears game a couple years ago, and yes, it is...
Oh, and then one more thing. Well, two more things. One, still way too many people dressing like Ditka. Please stop. Two...
You're not even old enough.
No,
the people who are dressing like Ditka now were not alive when the Bears won the Super
Correct.
Bowl.
Correct. And these people definitely were not.
Well, we're going to have... It's going to be a huge spike, too, when the coach... kicks it too.
Oh yeah, that's,
which
yeah,
he him not being seen in public for a very very long time leads. Me
I don't
to
think
believe.
I want to see what he looks like now. It can't be good.
I didn't want to see what he looked like then.
Well, he was a pretty handsome guy back in the day.
I mean, I'm talking like 5 years ago.
Oh sure. Last thing, and then we can move on. A lot of people have spent a lot of money on really nice, like Letterman style Bears jackets. I saw tons of different
Nerds.
Ones.
Nerds.
They're very. Very nice. Those things must cost a fortune, if I had to guess.
More expensive than a leather Ducks jacket.
I mean, there's so many variants, and I just feel like you really, A, have to spend a lot of money on it, and then B, you can't wear it anywhere except for Soldier Field, right? Where else would you wear this thing?
Oh, no, they wear that every day.
Well, they wear it to their construction sites where they don't know the outcomes of the game. They wear their Bears jackets, and then people say, who won? And they say, I don't know.
Some guy behind me at some point dropped the whole, well, you know, I gotta buckle down and spend a little time with the wife. You know, I owe her that much, you know. Like, okay, yeah. I know.
I'm sure she's thrilled.
A real guy's guy.
His wife is just a hindrance to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything's a sitcom.
While we're talking Bears' sartorial choices, I actually appreciated that among, you know, this month where we have to wear, you know, honorary Ed Olczyk Cancer Month attire, that Ben was basically wearing a hoodie that, like, my mom wears on the sidelines. I appreciated that.
These new coaches' hats suck, by the way.
They're
too small. Too small.
Yeah,
too embroidery.
What's the deal with that? Yeah.
They're horrible.
Just wear the lovey, the
you're the Bears coach. Get the cap with the script, C
or the script, script B.
Sorry, I'm thinking of White Sox. Sorry.
Maybe they look better in person, but yeah, it's too small.
No, TV. Logo's way too small. Give me my script B. That's the coach's hat. That's what you wear when you're the Bears coach. I'm sorry. That's the rule.
It makes you a moron, but you look cool.
It makes you a moron, but that's what we do here.
We're not fucking golfing. Take that hat off.
Yeah.
That's why. Well, how did it Nagy turn into a moron then when he had the bald visor?
Well. There's always an exception.
Look, I'm not
going to
get into the nuts and bolts of this. So.
Dennis Allen's a visor guy too, isn't he?
He is a visor guy.
He is a visor guy. Well, we'll see what he is when it gets cold.
Maybe he goes up into the booth. Like Tobel's
He seems like a rant and Raven sideline guy.
Yeah, he's a sideline guy. He needs to look into the whites of his players' eyes.
Mm-hmm. The good Lord tells him that he's got to be on the sidelines.
And he tells Jaquan to do the Flappy Bird after every
play. I think when it gets cold, Ben's still going to be in the hoodie and cap. He doesn't care. He's just going to...
No, with the Lions, he was wearing winter parkas. So.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Well, that's disappointing. But that was with a dome team. You can't do that here.
Well, he wasn't wearing it in the dome.
Yeah, but like he's used to, you know, dome football. Still got to have the hoodie. What did Lovey wear?
Lovey had the parka. Big coat.
Lovey had the toque. No, if Ben wears the toque, and we all know which one I'm talking about.
Yes, we do.
Ben can find that one and wear it, instant hero.
Super Bowl or bust.
Yes.
I still
this
believe
this is the
that
kind
if,
of Bears discussion you don't get anywhere else.
I found it in my parents' garage. It was my old man's working on the car in winter hat. And yeah, like we all had that one. Our fathers all had that one.
Well, not my father, but
well, George was too cool.
Yeah, George didn't like football.
The coach wore it on the sidelines, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe
pretty
so.
Sure he did. Pretty sure he did.
Well, anyway, by the time people listen to this, it'll be Thursday, so I feel like it's better to look forward than to look back. We did the thing. But, you know, now we're closer to the next game, which is in Baltimore.
Yo.
Baltimore. Baltimore, you.
I will let people in the behind the curtain at the real show on the text thread. I believe John, now his pants have already been off. We know his pants have been off since they beat Washington. But there was something effective. If they beat Baltimore in Baltimore, all systems go. Now, I don't know what that means because he's already been naked running down California to charge at Killian's house before he was roped back in by the authorities, by his wife, I'm not sure. So all systems go. He rents a helicopter that he flies naked. I'm not sure what it means. But John, you said if they win this game Sunday, all systems go. Perhaps define that for the kids.
Besides running nude, just running through every brick wall possible. So, like, just, you know, running in a straight line, but it doesn't matter if there's a building or anything in my way.
Like the Kool-Aid Man.
Through that wall. Yep, just going through that wall. Nothing's stopping me.
Isn't there a brick wall, like, in your yard?
Yeah, going right through it.
So that's the first one. Going through it nude, right in nude.
The nude juggernaut.
Yeah.
Are you wearing the helmet to protect you against Charles's psionic attacks?
Dude, skinny Greek,
bursting
punch
through
guy.
Walls. Yeah, it's bursting going, through walls through. And buildings. Yeah, that's what it'd be involved in. Because you know, Baltimore is a deceiving team at this point at 1-5.
We don't even really know what we're getting.
Mm-hmm. You got Lamar. That's probably going to play. You got Roquan coming back. They clearly know that this is their season is hinging on the next few games to at least get back to at or around 500, because otherwise they're going to be chasing it the rest of the way. So they need to at least rattle off 3 to 4 wins in a row, and it's going to have to start on Sunday. And so you're going to get their best game, or whatever their best game can be,
whatever they have
point.
Left. I think they probably have this game on their schedule circled as, like, nice, easy spot for them.
Get right.
No question.
Yeah. So to have that turn into something that could be a little more dangerous than that is probably pretty frustrating. Not to mention, Vegas apparently has them as 6.5 point underdogs. So
the Bears, yeah.
Yes.
The Bears, correct.
Mm-hmm.
So that's itchy.
I think Sam has said that that this is kind of playing with house money in this game, and I would agree with that. I think
it is.
If they can pull out a win, I think that would be huge. Obviously, that's all systems go.
Let the record reflect that during the best show of the year, this was a very quick. Yeah, no. Like it just
before we saw what the Ravens looked like, and even with Roquan back, this is a very beat up defense that didn't look very good when Lamar was playing the last time.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a telling game in that this is either a Ravens team that's going to bounce back and be one of the hot team that you don't want to face in the playoffs, or this is going to be like a lost season for them, and it'll just be wait till next year, and hopefully they can rebuild whatever they have around Lamar and Henry. And
as you pointed out, though, John, their next game is Thursday night. They do need this one because you can't go 1-7. Were they 1-6 now? What are they?
They're 1-5.
Well, 1-5. I don't even really think they can go 1-6.
No.
But you know, if Lamar's not 100% or even that close to it, asking him to come back and then wheel it back out there in 5 days is dicey as well.
I think they'd probably take their chances if Cooper Rush has to play the Thursday night game because they're playing the Mike McDaniels Dolphins that have completely
right who will have shot it. Each other by then.
Yes, Bear, but they may not even show up for the game, Sam.
Right, they may not actually.
They'll have a half a team. So
well,
yeah,
hopefully
I mean,
Tyreek
really
Hill will be
game.
In jail and under the jail.
Well, he's not playing either way. If he's in jail, or he's not in jail, he's out. But this is not a Dolphins podcast. John would like it to be, but it's not.
Sure,
I have
short
a Dan
podcast.
Marino jersey that I could wear while we do it.
I wore a Dan Marino jersey once.
Just once?
Just once.
Oh. It is the only football jersey that I own. Oh, take that back. I also have a Warwick Dunn Florida State one.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Was that to match your...
Apparently, I'm the only one on the podcast who's a real fan because I have two Bears jerseys.
Well, who would I buy? Like, well, I have to buy a person's jersey, right? I can't just get a blank Bears jersey.
I see, Slag, I think you go classic. You go classic.
80? Aren't you a number 89? You go to the coach.
I cannot be wearing a Ditka jersey in 2025.
No, he cannot. I don't know what classic.
If you could get like a Ryan Wet Knight jersey or something.
Well, yeah, that's an 89, right?
Yeah, or James Thornton.
No, he was 86.
No, James Thornton. RoboCop. No, James Thornton was 80.
Yeah, but I'll get a RoboCop jersey. That'd be good.
The two I wear, Slack, are classics. I don't have any current Bears. I probably would never get.
You got Peyton?
I have Peanut and Lance.
Okay.
And my Lance one is not in great shape.
Yeah, but those are two.
In worse shape than your Boland Winter Classic.
No. That, my Boland Winter Classic is vintage. Come on now. I take care
could
of
I,
that one.
Could I get a Lemuel Stinson?
Yes, absolutely. Why couldn't you?
No, like that'd be like wearing a Jeff Shantz jersey to the United Center. Or like the Pavel Korobyev. Yes, or Kyle Calder. Like, yeah, that'd
be. Yeah, but either of those guys had a cool nickname.
I do wear a Kyle Calder jersey to the United Center.
He does wear
and to the world away for victory, my friends.
I'm going to, if John's birthday wasn't nice in jersey, the summer, okay. Maybe for Christmas I'll get John a Bears jersey. I'll figure out what he needs.
Can I wear one that says number one dad on the back?
No.
Okay. Should I get it from China?
Get one that says number one uncle.
Lightenthebox.cn.
RoboCop with 80 on the back.
How about put Dr. Viral on the back?
God, could you imagine? I'm going to put Schwartz Hockey on the back.
No, you got to put a dot in there.
We know you're not going to
the
Bears game for at least 5 or 6 years, so it doesn't matter.
And I'm
going
to wear a big fake ponytail.
I'd actually like to see you grow a
ponytail. This is actually a pretty good Halloween costume you got cooking.
Yeah,
here,
it's not bad.
Nobody will understand what it means except the three of us.
Well,
and,
so we're not going to see you, but yeah.
We won't see
and
you.
And my guy Eric isn't on the
bed. And maybe one random cretin that would see you while you were walking the streets of the Northwest Chicago.
The Northwest Chicago.
It would have to be like at a street festival. It's the only chance that I would have somebody mm-hmm. point it out.
But
have
you don't enough, go to street festivals around. Anymore.
Yeah, because they're not fun.
I mean, they can be. They're not they always used to be. Fun.
They used to be.
As opposed to just hearing my ear-shattering voice at, like, you know, a Mudhoney show.
Ooh, they got a Bronco Nagurski jersey, number 3. Who's buying this?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
I was at the game. I didn't see one. I'll say that much.
Well, the Foremans are.
I'm actually surprised to hear that. I would think there'd be one or two.
Yeah, the Foremans probably had one underneath their jacket. You didn't even notice.
Okay.
Doug Atkins jersey? What is this?
Impromptu, internal, intra-Cretan question here. If you had to purchase a Bears jersey, but it has to be from the 85 team, my friend.
Why does it have to be from the 85?
This is just the arbitrary nature of it. If you had to go,
because he said so.
Yeah, because okay. I said so. Just to limit it from that squad, whomst would it be?
Wilbur.
Oh, speaking of, yeah, this old guy had a Wilbur Marshall jersey on.
Yeah.
He sat near us and he proceeded to tell us unrequited.
Wilbur was my favorite Bear then, and that's
he wore it to a game in Washington, and he wore it specifically because he knew that they wouldn't be mean to him because he played there.
No one in Washington knows who Wilbur Marshall is.
No,
well, he claims that they did.
Not even Killian.
I think honestly, my two options would be either McKinnon, which I think,
and it can't be Walter. Yeah, I'm adding.
Your mother loves Dennis. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's one of them. Yeah.
Yep. And I think a Hilgenberg jersey would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'd be a cool one.
If I ever get a white one, I might get a Wilbur jersey now that we're talking about it.
That guy was cool.
I mean, even in spite of Sky Point, McMichael would be a fun one to have.
That would be cool.
It would.
He
played more seasons for Washington than the Bears, Wilbur Marshall.
Wilbur?
Yeah, but, you know, it's the principle.
Yeah, but you know, I do know, Sam, and I agree.
You do know. You do know.
I do know.
A covert would be good, too.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
But also,
Maury Buford, no Leslie Frazier.
I don't want to be beholden to 85 that way. It's a good question. I appreciate asking, but I don't actually. I want them to all go away.
I understand.
And for something to replace them.
All right. Jersey Corner. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Next week, we'll have on Hockey Brunch in Chicago.
John, any final Bears Ravens thoughts before we move on?
I think this is the thing about the NFL that is so addicting, is that when they lose, you can't wait for them to win again. And when they win, you can't imagine them ever losing ever again. And
I can imagine them losing.
Oh. Well, no, the fact that they can't ever lose. Like, now it's like, now that they've started winning, it's like, well, they can't lose this game because you don't want them to go to 4-3, and then things are going to start hinging. So right. It's like, make it to 5-2, and then everything will be okay. And then they make it to 5-2, and it's like, well, you got to go 6-2 now. They can't go 5-3, buddy.
They can't shit the bed against Cincinnati.
Right, right. Oh, they can't go 5-3, buddy. Because
we've already got them at 8-2. Like, I mean, I sort of, you know, as we talk on the real show, say, you know, if they beat Baltimore, the road to 8-2 is like right there.
The path of the righteous man is beset.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by this brother John, and you know. But like, you know, they win this one, and then you got Cincinnati and the Giants at home. You know that you're going to be running through more than brick walls. You're going to be running through the Sears Tower.
Yeah, all the way. All every
jet fuel can't melt steel beams, but a red nude Greek man can.
You're going to be magic bulleting your way through every floor of the Sears Tower.
And then back down again.
And then back down. People are going to be, it's going to be on the news.
He's going to race the rubble down.
There seems to be a levitating red nude man going in and out of every floor of the Sears Tower. Like, oh, yep, that's our fifth brother John. While we record the podcast, we're just going to hear. I get what you're saying, John. It's having the whole week, you know?
Yep.
And now there's no bye, so you know you don't have. There's nothing on the horizon where you're going to get a break. Like it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's,
and no short week, no long weeks again. Like it's here on out.
I mean, the Friday to game to the
yeah,
next
but that
Sunday
whole weekend's a blur
long.
Anyway.
So, it's a lot.
But no, I think I'm excited to see how this game goes. This is not a national game, but it is a national game. Because there's no the other CBS games are only being shown in the region, so this is going to be shown to the entire U.S. outside of.
Are they getting the Nance and markets. Tony Homo?
No, we're getting Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt.
That are, yeah, our Sam told us that that's what.
Yeah, which is good. J.J. Watt. They're good. They're actually good.
Is this the first time J.J. Watt has announced a game where his brother or the Steelers are not involved?
No, he did the Broncos-Giants game last week.
Rematch of the Super Bowl in 1986, or 87, I guess, technically.
He needs to lose the fucking Poindexter glasses, though. Like, what are you doing? Come on.
Well, he bought Burnley, so he's an idiot. That's just a fact. Nobody
I don't think he actually bought them.
Well, they show him on the
fucking
TV.
Yeah, he put
TV
in like $20 and like, will you be the front person for our ownership group? And he's like,
sitting
yeah,
in his
sure.
car doing an interview on Premier Soccer Saturdays because his wife probably said, get the fuck out of the house if you're going to talk about Burnley.
His wife's a soccer player, so she probably doesn't mind.
Even soccer players don't want to listen to anyone talking about Burnley. Okay?
Even the players on Burnley don't want to listen.
Nobody wants to hear it.
Nobody wants to hear it. All right.
Nothing from the All-22s for us, John?
No, my understanding of the All-22s. Oh, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, no, you go ahead. You got it.
I was going to say, you know, one of the things from the game that I think Andrew touched on with
touchdown.
The people talking. Coming
That's
out
how
of the
Dave
stadium.
Wanstead says touchdown for the record.
Yeah,
touchdown.
was Caleb's play overall. And I think that from the All-22s, from what I understand, is that his All-22s looked much better than as it looked in real time as you were watching the game unfold in front of your TV screen, or in Andrew's case, in front of
him.
The South End zone.
Period.
That he played a much better game than the initial takes would have suggested.
I don't think he played a good game.
He didn't play great. If Rome catches one of those or two of those contested balls like he should, his numbers certainly looked better. He had a better second half. But it wasn't a good Caleb game. I'm just saying that fade
to Swift down the sidelines doesn't get called back.
We talked about, and again, ifs and buts, Merry Christmas. If New Orleans and other teams want to line up the way that they did, which is we're not going to let Caleb throw down the middle of the field, well, then Ben said, we're going to run it up your ass. And they've done it now 2 weeks in a row. So I'm very interested to see what Baltimore is going to do because their defense has been bad. And even getting Roquan back certainly helps. I don't know how many other guys they're getting back. And I know they've been banged up, but they got to figure out what they want to do. Do they want to stop the run now because it's been 2 weeks of just the Bears running over people, or do they want to try to stop Caleb and then see what happens with the running game again? I don't know. I guess DeAndre's a little ouchy, but I'm sure he'll get ready to go for Sunday. It's fascinating. Ben's to me, it's we keep harping on this week to week referendum on Caleb's play. We're not doing enough to talk about the amazing job that this coaching staff is doing, at least thus far. And I still think that after that week two game against Detroit, it would have been so easy to just lose everybody immediately. And they didn't.
I'd be interested to know how to stop a running game where the offensive line is getting a 5-yard push.
I mean, John, there were plays where before DeAndre Swift gets even like sniffed, he's 5 yards upfield because
I know
an enormous steamroller going through. It was crazy to watch.
That's why I'm saying that it's not easy to stop a rush attack like that. So I would be interested to see what a team's going to do. I would imagine that it would involve aggressive linebackers that can break through and make a tackle before the running back makes it his 5-yard cushion, but that would be the only way. And you know, obviously Baltimore has Roquan coming off the injury, so that would be something to watch if you're into that sort of thing.
It's going to be fascinating. Yeah, it's going to be fun, and it won't be sloppy. It doesn't look like it's going to be one of those disgusting rainy games like we've been seeing the last couple of weeks, which will be a nice change of pace.
Did you have another All-22 thought there, or did you hit it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that was my only thing, was that the All-22s came back, that the quarterback play was a little bit better than suggested, which was, you know, the initial was very disappointing. So that was a little heartening to hear and read about, is that, you know, some of the the play from the quarterback was better than it initially appeared, in that New Orleans kind of was had everything covered, so his reads were there was nothing there, and instead of tucking and running, he was trying to make something happen or spin out or do something crazy. And it seems like Ben referenced that in some of the press conferences this week, was to just remind Caleb that he can run the ball. If it's not there, you can always take off. So, which we haven't seen, I think, for a couple of weeks now. And that's certainly a good thing.
That's fine. But yeah, he could do that more often. I remember what I wanted to say. It only took me 40 minutes.
There we go.
So it shows you where I'm
We're all
operating.
Warming up. We're warming up.
And it was about the Bears media when Slack said we had the worst media ever. I was listening to Kevin Fishbane today. And I in general, I like Kevin Fishbane.
Yeah. He's fine.
He's pretty normal.
I don't have him in mind when I'm thinking about
it. But he was asked about Caleb. And he said something to the effect of, man, I can't wait to like don't have to spend my Tuesdays, you know, analyzing Bears quarterbacks. And I'm sitting there going, you got something better to do? It's your job. Like, you know, it's like this is what Bear football beat writers do. You break down the old 22s and you tell us how the quarterback played.
They're probably doing it in Kansas City.
It's the most important thing. Like, what is so torturous about this? Like, I get it. You get a lot of emails and comments from the people sitting behind Slack, and that's not pleasant. We've all been through it. But it's just like, that's the job. You analyze the quarterback play, and sometimes he's going to play bad, and you have to tell people why he played bad. And it's like the same thing we do every training camp. Oh, God, this is my fourth coaching change. Like, you're not climbing Everest here. You know? This isn't – I don't know what you're so upset about.
Well, yeah, and it's... also, like, what football city is different than that? Like, what football market do you think they're not asking questions about the quarterback? They ask it in Kansas City every time Mahomes strings together a few bad games. Everybody was itchy in Kansas City.
The past 3 years when Mahomes couldn't throw the ball deep because teams had like taken that away and he just could only throw the ball 5 yards.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, holy shit, can he not throw the ball deep anymore? Is he already over it? Like, yeah. They do it there.
Yeah.
And like I have patience for other beat writers in other sports because, you know, it's a little more arduous. A football beat writer, you travel 10 times a year. You know, you're not spending a December night in Calgary. You know, I don't want to hear it. Like your job is so simple. You go to the same place every day.
Yep.
And then you cover one game a week. And that's it. And then you get the rest of the week to analyze the game. That's the job. That's what it is.
And the storylines are all pretty much pre-written. This is the narrative football league as we
say. That's exactly
everyone reads
right.
It. Everyone reads it. It doesn't matter if your team is bad or not. You don't hinge on a team's results like the rest of us do.
Nope.
Right.
So shut up.
Yeah. And every week there's a revenge angle to take.
Yeah.
Every week there's like four or five stories that are basically pre-written for you. Or of all the major sports.
How hard is it to get on with Jay Hood and David Kaplan and say, well, Caleb still needs to play on structure and in time. It's the same five fucking buzzwords every goddamn week.
Mm-hmm.
It's infuriating. Come up with a thought. Like, these people.
Tell
are
us
so
your 85
bo-
Bears
so
jersey.
Boring. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Take off your Letterman's jacket.
Who's your foreman?
Well, this is gonna be a whole new bit with the construction workers yelling about Andrew Shaw, and now the construction
sitting behind
workers,
Andrew and a
the
Bears
construction game. Workers sitting behind Andrew
that don't know the results of the Bears schedule. Did they win?
Andrew's construction workers are very mad about this week's game.
It's not.
They
much
have no idea
than,
what happened the week before.
It's not much different than when I go to a New Japan show and it's
no, apparently not.
Two guys sitting behind me talking about NXT.
So
I just want to shoot
it's
myself.
It's you. It's not me.
I know it's me. It's horrible.
Well, we sat when we went to the shows at the Aragon. We were sitting in the last row, so there was no one behind us.
Oh, see, well, that's because I wasn't there.
Yeah. So, anyway, all right. Let's move a few blocks west and a few blocks north to the West Side Hockey Club, who are actually interesting, have actually been entertaining. Did we record on Tuesday last week?
I believe so.
We did.
So
we did.
This is after.
We did.
This is after the Hawks absolutely pummeled St. Louis, which was immensely fun. And then they have split the two games since.
After we lamented a potential of them going 0 for the month.
You lamented.
I did.
So they're 3-2-2. They have 8 points. Not going to say they're on pace for anything. It's so early. But so far, what I have said has become mostly true, which is
you are correct in your analysis.
Kids, if their kids are as good as they want everyone to believe, or even close, then they cannot be as bad as they also want everyone to believe they're going to be.
You've been saying that for quite some time as well.
I have. And
you're
feel,
on it.
I don't feel vindicated because it's a long season, but things are trending
well
in my direction.
It's the old, and I'll give McClure some credit too, it's the old names on the sheet theory.
Mm-hmm.
The names have been on the sheet, and they're winning. That's how it works.
It's the goddamnedest thing, isn't it?
And even Bedard hasn't even really been on the sheet.
I mean, he's got plenty of,
he's got plenty of assists.
Yeah, that counts. No,
that counts.
I thought the sheet was any point.
Yes.
So, all in all, I've been entertained, which is all I can ask.
Yeah, I mean, the games are not a chore. They don't. I think for me, the biggest thing has been, you know, like we talk about this, you know, by Thanksgiving thing every year. And you're not going to make the playoffs by end of November, but you're going to be out. And the way they played the last couple of years, they would put themselves in such a hole. And this year, they're not in that hole. So
not yet.
Day
not
over.
Yet. And they
soon
will.
Enough.
They will hit rough spots. Obviously, I think that's a guarantee. But it's still progress, even if it's, you know, not much more than their magical 3-2-5 run or whatever it was everybody keeps talking about at the end of last year. That wasn't really
real.
Anything all that great, you know.
This is way more substantive than that.
True. Now
it is, but there's also a lot of, you know, air holding it up and puffing it up, and Sam.
We do have
that quite a bit too.
And our buddy Dave Melton, friend of the program,
yes,
has pointed this out.
Very nice piece, Dave.
Indeed. At Second City Hockey, independent now, no longer part of SB Nation.
Does SB Nation even exist?
It does not.
Fuck you, Travis. Suck my dick.
The Hawks do have the second biggest, largest PDO in the league.
Which, shorthand, because we haven't done deep numbers dives here in a very, 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 very goddamn long time, is just a quick shorthand for luck. It's the combination of both your shooting percentage
and
your save percentage, and everything kind of normalizes to about 100, and the Hawks are probably at, what, like 106?
105.7. Good call. They have the fourth best save percentage, 937 at 5-on-5. That is not sustainable. That will probably normalize to somewhere around 910, 915 on a good team with a good goalie. And Spencer Knight may be. And perhaps that is the most encouraging thing about this Hawks start, is that Spencer Knight has looked like the real deal. And he hasn't been doing it with miracle saves.
Right.
And things you're like, oh, he's diving across the crease.
It's not his game.
Or he's getting the handle of the stick on it. He's in position. He's square. He looks in control.
And he's quick laterally. He's quick laterally.
He, by himself, could take the Hawks out of the number one draft pick spot. You cannot be in the Gavin McKenna Derby if your goalie's good. Because look at San Jose's goalies.
Goaler,
sorry. Now it's only, again, it's only 5-6 starts from the end of last year, but.
And this will regress. He will not continue to carry a like literal 96 save percentage at
No,
evens.
He will not. But of all the things that have happened so far in the season, that is probably what portends best to the future.
Although, like, there have been flash in the pan, you know, one-off, but like this is an extremely pedigreed, you know, I guess, is a goalie still a prospect at 25 if he's only ever,
I don't think so. Not being in the league this long.
I mean, and but never did. This is he's been a was pedigreed coming into the league and served his apprenticeship, and now he's got the reins, and he's doing what he's obviously far exceeding anything that could be reasonably sustained. But like this isn't surprising that he's this structurally sound. And
that's what got people's peppers hot.
Indeed. Well, and another thing that was super encouraging was the 11 shot attempts from Connor Bedard against
nine of them.
Yes, against Joel Quenneville's Anaheim Ducks of mighty Anaheim. But so clearly he's a listener. So
he's
Connor,
a listener, or Blast Shield's a listener, and he told Bedard what we were saying. He's like, hey, those guys know what they're talking about. You need to let it fly.
So in that case, we'd like to more free advice corner here. Get rid of steady NHL regular defenseman Louis Crevier, and take a hike, and he can defend the rim in Rockford, and bring up Korch, please and thank you. Get that to Kyle from Chicago with the glowing eyes memes, you wieners.
And you know they're not going to do that. Obviously,
no, they're not going to do that.
Okay.
They like his length.
Mm-hmm. He guards
the
rim.
They like his guarding the rim.
They don't know about
they
his
like
girth.
His slap shots that get buried into a goaler's chest.
They don't know about his girth, but they like his length.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Anything else to add? John?
No, Sam, I think you touched on the most interesting thing when you wrote about it, which was, what are they going to do when the rubber hits the road between the old vets that stink and the young players that are
or the ones
pushing,
that we just don't like even
that are pushing through what's going to happen? And it seems to be happening faster than they probably anticipated or probably hoped for. And now we're getting to that point because,
well, between the four of us, we quadrupled my 50s ratings over the weekend, just flipping through during the afternoon.
you
can't keep Lardass in Rockford
for
too much longer.
Down on the farm once he's seen Carl Hungus.
If he continues at this point production, it makes no sense to keep him there for a full season.
200-foot game.
Zero. Though.
None. And you've got you've got a bunch of candidates you could move on from. I mean, Lafferty and Ryan Green.
Especially as the Hawks aren't, it's not like the Hawks are filling up the goal every night.
Hold on.
Other than the St. Louis game where they had two goalers that couldn't stop a beach ball, between every other game has been sort of a taffy pull, 2-1, 3-2, 2-1, all very close, low scoring games.
Did I catch a niner in there?
No niner. And you can't continue on that pace, especially as you're as Matt mentioned, you're PDOing your way to something that's completely unsustainable.
As John's correct, other than the 8 they put up against the Blues, and that did involve two callers who were, let's be polite,
drunk.
And say they were wayward. The Hawks have not scored more than 3 goals in a game.
Yeah. So if you're
and one of those was an empty netter,
this,
right?
As
against
this continues
Utah,
and you have the guy down in Rockford filling it up every weekend. Doesn't matter if he's playing Billy Gardner in the Wolves or someone out in Iowa. There's no reason for him to continue playing out there.
For those,
he's already showing you that he can play at that level. It's a waste of time. There's zero. We've said this many times with other players. There's zero value in keeping them out there.
There's for those who are not aware, if you were lucky enough to see those Wolves Rockford Ice Hogs games, it doesn't matter what the Ice Hogs team does, but when Moore and Lardis, and I guess whenever Korch is out there with them, they're dancing all over the place. They look unstoppable. They look like the Globetrotters most of the time.
They're above that league.
Yes.
And the other thing too, I want to add to it. It makes even less sense for them to be wasting time out there as this team is becoming somewhat competitive. At 3-2-2 now, you need to have all the talent you can on this roster, because what's the point of of losing out when you have guys that have already proven that they can win at this level, even if it takes Spencer Knight goalering out of his mind. So
it's well, I don't know if 3-2 and 2 proves that they can win at this level.
No, not necessarily, but it's better than 0-6.
Now, if you get to the middle of November, Thanksgiving, and you're...
And they're hovering around the same point, Sam.
Well, even if you're 12-10, 12-11, I don't know how many games they'll play by then. Then it's like, okay, you've taken a half step, so you might as well keep going.
It's not like where you see San Jose or Calgary right now. That's like, it's not unthinkable that could have been the Blackhawks. 0-4-2 or 1-6 or whatever at this point of the season.
If they get just not absolutely stellar goaltending, then that's where they are. That's the difference.
Well, let's say that Spencer Knight continues his goaler escapades and
Janet Jackson, hello.
They win a few more 2-1, 1-0 games. And like Sam said, they're sitting at 12-2 and whatever.
They're John, come on now. 12-2 and
no, 12-10. I meant.
Oh, 12-10. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Not okay. 12-10. Oh, okay. All right.
No, they're hovering around 500, above when you don't count the overtime losses and whatnot. But how are you going to defend going the rest of the season? Meanwhile, you got these two specifically forwards that can't stop scoring.
Well, and again, it's like anything else. Maybe they will stop scoring. Maybe next week it will look a little bit different.
Maybe. I
want to see them put the pressure
forward.
On. That's one of the more interesting things about the
I
team.
Just want
yeah,
to
I agree. Like, that's my bigger, larger point is I'm more interested to see the Heat get cranked up a little bit.
Yep.
As I wrote today, I just want them to stick to their word, which is, and they, Kyle came out before the year and said,
yeah, he said a lot of things.
If these
though,
kids
Sam.
Are ready to play, we will move vets out of the way. Okay.
He also said that they were done drafting at the top of the draft, and they got themselves a Frondell for it.
Indeed.
Who is also apparently setting the world on fire overseas at wing, though.
Well, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. That's fine.
It's
fine if Bedard can stick at center, and we don't know that yet. Trending the right way this season so far, but a long way.
Certainly not at the dot.
No, that which is puzzling. John, is it time for America's favorite segment?
Sure. There's one headline that I just want to read. I didn't want to go into the comments, but this is mostly for Matt, and it's not going to make his head explode or anything. So there's a post with the title. The person who posted it is named Sharkinator 1198.
And there's my number.
The title of the post is, "Why is no one talking about Roman Kantsarov?"
Scott's talking about him. Where the hell you been? Scott's talking about him constantly. Shut up.
Every day Everybody's there's a story about Roman Kantsarov.
And you're talking about him. You wrote a post about him. So
he's Scott's Russian young boy.
Yeah.
Who do you want to be talking about him?
You're right.
Now, Vaclav Clarasil, he's got a case.
Okay, now the next post, there's some comments to get to in here. Here's the title of the post and the copy. Not trying to doom and gloom here. Why wasn't Korch sent down when he could have been? Not...
Two years ago?
I'm guessing that's what he means.
Because he couldn't have been.
And this is what he follows up with. This just popped into my head, not taking it as he's a bust until he shows he is. Did it hinder his development playing those games? What does he lack to make it to the next level? Also, how would it change your view on Kyle from Chicago if Korch turns into a bust or traded? Well, first of all, he's not going to be traded because Kyle's already shown he doesn't trade anybody.
Unless they're really good.
Unless he doesn't know what he's getting. Unless he's getting the mystery bag. Unless he's getting the Labubu bag. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know.
All right. So the aforementioned, he's basically become part of the show now. The Schwartz Hockey chimes in with a comment that is just perfect. So here's from the Schwartz Hockey, Andrew's Halloween costume for this year.
Yeah, correct.
Korchinski's issue, in my opinion, isn't so much skill as it is size. He just doesn't have the physical presence yet that's needed to play against the sheer size of NHL bodies today. And it takes longer for most defensemen to hit the physical milestones than it does for forwards just by the nature of their jobs. Having Korchinski down in Rockford helps him get more on-ice development time, playing against players that are similarly physically developed versus being up in the NHL constantly, getting pushed around. He can be in the AHL, further developing his skill game while conditioning himself towards getting back to the NHL. It's also a bit unfair to him that most fans don't understand the rules around WHL call-ups and how he was ineligible to be sent to Rockford his first year, so he gets undue scrutiny in regards to whether he's a long-term piece of this team. And the reality is that he may or may not be as the roster evolves and the team grows and begins emerging from the rebuild and as other players...
Oh, my God!
...are otherwise moved. And then, of course, 7 upvotes, and then somebody says, this is the right take here. No, there's nothing right about that.
Okay, first of all, Kevin Korchinski is 6'1", 185 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not exactly like that.
And I also would want to know if the TV in Schwartz Hockey's dungeon is working or if he needs to recalibrate the antenna or whatever he's got.
John, don't go in there to find out.
No, I don't want to.
You won't come
but
out.
Is he seen Sam Brunzell getting bodied
at 6'4", 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Who would like to... I've got two other defensemen here. One is 6 foot and 187 pounds. And one is... Let me finish Googling. One is 5'9", 162 pounds. Who would like to know who those two players are?
Matt Grzelcyk. And I don't know the other one.
Cale Makar and Lane Hutson.
There you go.
So, yeah, I don't think...
Well, they stink.
Yeah.
They're not ready either.
They're not ready either.
They're not. They're on a different team, therefore they
They're not ready to handle the physicality of the NHL game.
Yeah, they should definitely be back in the AHL to get their bodies ready to be playing against players that are more physically developed.
This guy spends way too much time looking at hockey players' bodies.
Correct.
I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Buddies, buddy.
No, the only reason why he's in the AHL is because the Hawks like to overthink things. And for whatever reason, Korchinski has made
someone
it into
get,
that.
Someone will get hurt and he'll be back, I guess, right? He's the first guy up. He's got to be. Oh, God. Nolan Allen? Del Bastard?
Yeah, they really want to make Nolan Allen. It depends which of the guys gets hurt. If it's Levshinov or Grzelcyk or Renzel, he'll be up.
Yeah, that's
if fair. It's one of the stay-at-home guys, they'll call up Allen or Del Mastro.
Or let Crevier take the spot.
Yeah. Well, they like need, playing they all their seven, though.
Yeah, they got their seven. They're Sheldon Brookbank, if you will.
Is he still coaching out there?
Member?
Oh, I remember. I remember Sheldon Brookbank having the games of his life when Brent Seabrook got suspended.
I do, too.
Didn't he
fun.
Also did he fun. Take Keith's spot when he got suspended in 2013.
One of the times he did it.
Well,
yeah,
that was the Johnny
well,
Oduya
well
game of his life, though.
Right, that was Johnny Oduya doing everything. But in 2014, when Seabrook got suspended for 2 games, Sheldon Brookbank was...
He was also the 12th forward that dressed in a gotta-have-it game.
And yep. Did you notice Q minutes. Was dressing one of his defensive prospects at forward?
Oh, really? No, I did not.
The guy that couldn't more, he's a defenseman and he was playing forward.
Lovely.
I was like, oh, I remember
not Ricky
this.
Stenicki or whoever.
Yeah, Brett Seneca.
Bennett Seneca.
Ricky Stenicki.
Yes. Let me make sure I get my facts right. I don't want to be lying to the kids. But
well, while you efforting,
I will effort.
Yeah, I did the Ducks game. I was still levitating from the Bears game, and I was just starting to come down from that.
Did you hear anyone in your section, Andrew, about bragging about doing the doubleheader? Yeah, we're going to a Hawks game after this.
No.
I wonder if people still do that. They did it a lot back in the day. I would see them from
my
post.
I'm sure they
did.
I'm sure there's
people
still
like to drink, Sam. Nothing's changed.
OPP's still out there that have
nothing
else better
to do. I like to drink, Slack.
I know. You're one of the people who would do this.
I would. And that, well, I've never done the Bears Hawks double.
Boy, the stamina for that, I would need to take a week off of work.
I couldn't do it.
I did
take a week off of
work. I'd be so tired.
I did it back ending off of being out at like the Oakwood or something the Saturday night before, and I should have taken a week off after work. of work after that. It was not
the most productive week for you. Yeah.
Yes. And that's why I'm now on blood pressure medication.
Ian Moore. Ian Moore is the young lad's name. He's a defenseman, but Q played him at wing simply because
he's Joel Quenneville.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm sure that there's a nice stay-at-home, you know, real... Joel Quenneville's just like fucking like Ryan Poles. He sees himself in people, and he's got to give fucking Trevor Van Riemsdyk every chance in the world to breed slack jaw at the heavens.
Matt Walker. Yep. All right. Time for the greetings. I have one from friend of the program, Vertel. This one's a little complicated.
Uh-oh.
And it's related to a story he also sent me. Illinois man arrested after pretending to be Sammy Hagar.
Oh, I was going to send that to you today, Sam.
Yeah. So
I figured 14 other people already did. So
yeah, well, Vertel was the first. And his question for the podcast, who would you impersonate to commit light fraud, and how would you attempt to prove you are that person? This one's tough.
Scott Ian.
We're
going from that era.
I'm going to go around the table first. John, do you have one here?
Of who I would impersonate?
To commit light fraud. It's not just to impersonate. You gotta sell this.
What's light fraud? Like someone buying you a drink?
I think someone just investing in your quote-unquote resort.
I would impersonate Thomas Ian Nicholas.
And you get to sing the stretch as Henry mm-hmm. Rowengartner every year
right.
for no reason because labors under thinking he's a music guy.
People always used to say that I looked like him, and so I think it would be easy to pull it off.
And this is a good time to remind people, listeners, don't tell people who you think they look like. They didn't ask.
I mean, I do it to you guys, so.
Well, I know you.
Who did that to you recently, Andrew?
It happens
and
to me constantly.
Who do they say you look like?
Who do they say you look like?
I've been getting Jason Kelsey all the time.
Well, you're just a white beardo. That's it.
Yes. And he happens to be on TV 400 hours a day.
Now, if they would have said Jonas Valanciunas, they'd have...
Well, that maybe 10 years ago. Those days are over.
I think Valanciunas is also come home, as they say in the community.
Yeah, well... Anyway, if I would pretend I was him and maybe get like a beer or something.
Make it worth your while everybody's telling you look like him.
Thanks for the beer. I was lying. Bye.
I was lying.
I'm just some guy.
I'm just a big beardo.
Who cares?
I'm just a big beardo. I thought Slack could do Andrew Kittredge.
Oh, I got some of that too.
And you've got enough of a fastball, people wouldn't be able to tell the difference. You're like, yeah, watch me throw this fastball against the wall. You can't
without even doing like any windup.
Right. You can't, you know, to the naked eye, they can't tell the difference.
The key for Andrew Kittredge was he didn't look like he gave a shit or was trying at all.
And
every pitch was 96 miles an hour somehow.
I don't remember you caring as much when people told you look like Jake Arrieta 10 years ago.
I think in general, if you tell someone they look like somebody, mm-hmm. you're running a risk.
It's true.
It's just not good.
No, it's not.
It's just people need some kind of social awareness, and there's just so many people who do not have it.
Okay, Matt, just who would you say you were to open a bank account that isn't yours?
I don't know. This would have to be admitting to some lookalikes that I'm not that I absolutely hate.
Well, that's fair.
But that's perfect. That's why you want to do it, because you want to.
Yeah, no. I would do a complete like false flag operation then.
Yeah.
Between either the like Zach Braff or Luke Wilson.
Yep. You got it.
I could sort of see the Zach Braff. I don't know about the Luke Wilson. But that's more important to do the fraud then, because then you can fuck them up. At least the credit.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why the Sammy Hagar impersonator was so.
Yeah,
but that guy
looked buzzardy enough.
So he looks like Sammy Hagar if he had been floating in the Splains River for a month and a half.
Somebody pointed out he looked more like Buzz from the Melvins than anybody else.
He does look like Buzz from the Melvins. He looks like Sammy Hagar if Sammy Hagar had only been ingesting milkshakes since 1986.
Cabo Wabo.
Apparently, that's the only one.
Apparently that I'm not a tequila guy, but apparently that tequila and the
it's
guy
really good.
The Fieri one are like way better than it has any right to
hey,
be.
Hey buddy,
to be.
I still got some in my cabinet here if you want to try
they
it.
They take
sometime.
Their tequila very seriously. Cabo Wabo, and I'm not a big tequila guy, but it is really good.
Yep.
My dad apparently drank too much of it in Cabo at the resort, and my mom found him passed out with his head
next to the
toilet.
Was that the time he asked if the server fucked good or something, or what was it?
No, that's not even close to what happened. He said the water glasses at a barbecue place in North Carolina smelled like pussy.
No.
And they got kicked out.
Go figure.
Yeah.
No way.
I'll have to try that next time I'm in North Carolina.
Damn, who would you commit life fraud as?
You never
gave your guy.
I don't know.
Well, that's not much of a segment then, Sam, is it?
Yeah, it really isn't. I've thought about this all day, and I say Scott Ian, right? But then I can't play guitar. I can't prove to these people that
nobody's
I am.
Gonna ask
I can't
you to play
act.
Guitar.
No, yeah, they're just gonna look at you and be like, "Oh yeah, I can see that."
You say you're Scott Ian, but do you happen to have an electric guitar and an amp?
This guy wasn't writing lyrics or
people assume
performing
Scott
heavy
Ian
metal.
Carries guitar
I wasn't.
All
I wasn't blocking a defensive lineman when they called me Jason Kelce.
You are a bald, bigoted Jewish man with an extensive knowledge of comic books. Like, that's all you need.
I don't have an extensive knowledge of comic books, but I would for this purpose. So I guess that's the best I can do.
All right.
So one of our older friends thought I looked like the main replicant from the original Running Man, Blade Runner.
Rutger Hauer?
Not Rutger Hauer, the other one. The one who's being interviewed in the...
The Voight-Kampff, John, yeah. No, not, he's got a weirdly spelled Brian.
But I'm not going to get to open bank accounts on the back of his fame.
I think he's dead, too.
That wouldn't help.
Well,
cross him off, then.
Cross him off the list, then. All right.
Brian James, a little bit, but he's got shorter hair in Blade Runner.
Yeah, I had one that I hinted at that I'll have to share here. I just got to find it. 1 second. Efforting. This is from Chris P. Chris Pummer at Beast Guy Social. Do you think noted Bears fan John Wayne Gacy was happy with the direction of the team when they strapped him to the gurney in 1994? When do you think he would or should have been out on Wani in each subsequent Bears administration? So I did look this up.
Okay.
He was executed in May of 1994, meaning 1993 was the last season he watched.
So
meaning
Wani's
he did
first
not,
season.
He did not get to enjoy the Ultra back in all his glory. He did.
I think he would have been happy with the direction of the team, though, because the arrow was pointing up after Wani's first season.
7-9, but they did lose the last four games of that season. However, the game they won... The last game they won that season was a 30-17 victory over that team up north, the Green Bay Packers. So he went out.
So JW from Madison Park
to a win over Green Bay. So good for John Wayne Gacy.
And that was Ditka's last game, right?
No. This is Wani's first year
in '93. Yeah.
No, that was Ditka's last year.
'93 is Wanstead.
'93
really?
Is Wanstead.
Yes.
Ditka was fired after the '92 season.
92? Ron Turner, Bob Slowick.
Okay. So Wani's first year, they were 7-9.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very respectable.
Which
set the stage for 9-7.
1-1 against the Pack that year.
So his last year was the first year of the Wani regime. I have a hard time thinking that he was anything but a Ditka guy.
Listen, they were 7-5 after beating Green Bay, and
he
lost
was
the last
one of the guys
games.
that was buying Saints gear. When the coach got hired in New Orleans and said, and
his Saints grease paint.
Yeah. And said he was no longer root for the Bears. He's a Saints fan from now on. He was one of those fans.
But he also thought that
he wasn't around for it though.
He thought that Ricky Williams guy was a little too comme ça, comme ça, if you know what I mean.
You know, after the last time Gacy came up on this true crime podcast, I looked up to see exactly where the house was, and I let the editorial department say I incorrectly identified it in Rogers Park. It was technically Park Ridge, just south of the Kennedy.
That's right.
A little bit east of Cumberland, and you cannot Google Earth, you cannot Street View in front of that house. On the 8 million block of Summerdale or whatever it's on.
Nor should you want to.
No, no. Well, I don't think the house exists anymore, but there's a house there.
Ugh, could you, still.
No.
Yeah, no.
Whoever lives there
no,
is a fool.
Anyways, that's a
meanwhile, very... they tore down the house in Thief. That's on, that was on, not Summer, but it's one of those.
Well, and Family Matters house is gone too.
Yep. Played 16 inch, my friend, in that park right across the street from the Family Matters house.
What park is that?
It's off of Wrightwood and Ashland.
Hamlin? Mm-hmm.
Believe
no,
so.
No, that's not Hamlin.
That's on Damon.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Because the burrito place is right down the street. That's
Tony's?
Why... Yes.
Yes. Tony's rocks.
And that's why whenever someone
no,
asks
it's Wrightwood
me if
Park.
I wanna...
It's Wrightwood Park.
Play tennis at Hamlin okay. Park. I always say yes. So I can go to
Smart.
Burrito. Like so afterwards.
But yeah, right. that's where I'm going with it. He stopped following the Bears after they got rid of Ditka. He said I'm done with them.
Well, again, either that or he went into the offseason after four losses. They were 7-5 in a prime in the hunt position and blew it. So I'm sure he was not keen on Wani. After
John,
that.
What is the official week of In the Hunt? When do they start? Is that halfway mark?
I think, yeah, by like week 8, that's when you'll start to see the graphic.
Okay. So the Bears are like 2 weeks away from accomplishing the only goal you really had.
Maybe week 8, in between 8 or 10, I think.
Yeah,
I feel like
around
that's
week,
when it starts.
Around week 8.
Yeah. You're already starting to see some of the standings.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I just double checked too. Vertel's got it right because he was at Stateville, so he would have gotten the games. There was no red zone back then, so in the rec hall they would have had him. So
I don't think John.
He
was
in. He was in market.
I don't think he got to leave his cell much.
Was Otis Wilson the security guard?
He wasn't. You're saying you don't think he was in Gen Pop, Sam?
I'm just guessing. Wasn't he the one they had a huge controversy because he was like blowing coke in his cell?
No, that was Richard Speck. And Richard Speck in his titties. Which coincidentally, bringing it back to the Bears angle, that was one of the funniest bits ever when Doug got a bad haircut and Boris kept telling him that he looked like Richard Speck, and then he bought a big double nickel 55 R Speck jersey.
That year, Jim Harbaugh played 15 of the 16 games and threw for 2,002 yards and 7 touchdowns. Are you fucking kidding me?
And that's the game that season. Do you have the football reference schedule up?
That was the one that we
talked about, I think, last year with the Raiders. They lost that Raiders game at the last second where they almost couldn't get the kickoff. And then they got the kickoff, and then Butler had it blocked or something.
Right, they had to like 16, scramble.
14 was that final. Right. Yeah.
They Jesus mangled Christ. The clock so bad they had to hustle the kicker out there, and then he got the kick blocked, or he missed it. He just missed the chip shot.
Yeah, like an extra point style.
Yeah,
kick.
An old extra point, not even mm-hmm. not even the new one. All right.
This is pathetic.
This has been
real quick. Wait.
Chicago Meatballs.
No, we're not done yet.
Corner.
We're not done.
One more thing. One more thing.
Done.
From that game. From
we're
that
not
game.
Done yet.
Jim Harbaugh, 12 of 24 for 140 yards, one pick, one touchdown. Jeff Hostetler for the Raiders, 11 of 23 for 108, no touchdowns, no interceptions.
That's what I'm talking about.
Super Bowl champion Jeff Hostetler to you.
This is horrific football.
Oh yeah, that's
a
guy.
It's not like somebody
since.
Ran for a lot of yards either. Nobody had over 75 rushing yards. This is like, what was happening?
Three yards in a cloud of dirt, my friend. No one going for it on fourth down.
I mean, how did the NFL get so popular from what it was here?
Gambling. Yeah.
This is ass.
Because not everyone was watching the Bears.
I guess. All right, sorry. That's enough.
How many first downs were in that game between
all
the
right.
two teams?
Here we go. First downs. 20 for the Raiders, 19 for the Bears.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. The Raiders had 11 penalties. That might be part of it.
Well, you get a is that first down's gained, or is like does it count when like you start your possession after the punt?
No, that's not that does not count.
Okay,
no, so, that's what, yeah, first downs.
The Bears were 2 of 11 on third down in this game,
and they still had 19 first downs.
I don't understand.
That can't be right.
That can't be right. Those like, have to be wrong. Be.
I don't. Football Reference wouldn't lie to me.
No, I guess it wouldn't.
Neil Anderson had, listen to this, wait. Neil Anderson had 75 yards on 28 carries. That's horrible.
Yeah.
I almost don't want to be.
That's past the point when Neil Anderson was just looking for a place to fall down.
Correct. 28 times he did it, and a few times he fell down after a
yard. I mean, basically, right, he's 6 feet tall, so basically if every carry he laid down, and that's the yards he got.
Yeah.
That was also the P.T. Willis season for those counting at home.
Oh, my God.
No, don't want to.
No, don't want it.
Tom Waddle was also there.
For several reasons no one can identify.
Extremely concussed.
Still is.
Still is. A clueless man.
Anything from main feed, Matt?
Just a couple quick ones. I think we already kind of answered this, but this is just fun to read it phrased this way. Ginkgo biloba.
Good luck with your first crap.
Crap, yeah.
You know, he's a longtime guy.
Oh, okay.
It's just funny to say.
Well, my lifelong dream of seeing Dalton, or actually, he spells it Dalton Cock. In an ice hog sweater.
I can't believe again, we never thought of that.
How did we miss that?
Be realized anytime soon.
I think it will be.
Yeah, I think it's very soon.
Yeah,
I think it's very likely because like they gave him a chance to like really shine. And once you get that and you blow it and they put you down to the fourth line, and like the Hawks' fourth line isn't even a fourth line. It's a, you know, it's the MASH unit or whatever. That you're squarely on the list to go back to Rockford. Like he will probably be the first one down if Lardis or Moore come up.
But is he waiver exempt though? Oh,
of course he is.
Blasil has nothing.
No, he gave him his chance.
Right,
he blew it because
he has no loyalty to him beyond.
So
that.
It's like so okay, I gave you your shot, and now I'm gonna have. I want to see other kids who might be able to do what you couldn't do.
Correct. There's no investment from Blashill to make Colton Dock work, which is weird too, because I don't even think Colton Dock was Kyle's pick. I'm pretty sure that was Stan's guy.
His brother. Did he take both? Did he take both cocks?
Yes. I'm almost positive, but
you might be right. Yeah. So there's
one slotted a little differently than the other.
And that's just further proof that Kyle does not trade anybody.
Except until he has to.
Yeah. Except good players.
All right.
Except players who go on to anchor their team to the cup. Mm-hmm.
Somewhat relatedly, the armored loincloth. Will Hawks Reddit finally know how much Foligno stinks dick and how much better they play without him? Oh, I'm sure that they're
what have I done?
You did this to yourself. No, they were doing this
love
for
him. Yes.
They were inspired. By
and how
him.
Much better they'll be now that he'll be back.
He's taught.
I
them
have to
the
say,
ways.
I mean, it has nothing to do with his on camera stuff, which obviously is driving me nuts. And I obviously wish his daughter a speedy recovery. I hope everything works there. When they have Foligno stapled to the fourth line, which he mostly has, he doesn't offend me hockey wise.
Does he offend you Pennywise?
Yes, of course. I mean, for the most part, there's still pointless fights, and he can still get a little lazy. But like, if he's only going to be the two guys,
it's all eyewash though. Like, and that, like
is,
that's
like,
and
on the fourth line and penalty killing.
But in the absence of any actual real leadership elsewhere, they're going to look to this bullshit, and that's always been the problem.
We thought
it was only
going to
be one, and we said this. With year one, and everyone got enamored with the other shit. And that's why he's been here two more fucking years.
I think this team's already taken its cues from Nazar. And, like, they'll happily drink the free beer they can't get because they're all underage that Foligno provides, but I...
Nazar's 21.
Okay, Nazar's not 21. I don't know. I mean, like, I just, you know, the run into the cameras and all that's always going to bother me, and the stupid fights and the shortcuts he takes. Yeah, but like, they're not out here saying, oh, he can skate with Bedard or Nazar. They're not doing any of that shit. And he's a decent penalty killer. You know, but when Moore, as I wrote today, when Moore and Lardis are up and they're getting the real shot, in a vacuum, you'd really have to look at Foligno being the one you'd sit in the press box. Because they're really enamored with Landon Slager. I think he's fine. But
who's they, though? It's a new coaching staff, right? So other than
But it's Anders. Still Davidson. I mean, he still makes the roster.
Slandon.
Slandon, I think, was Kyle's guy too, or Stan's pick,
because he's a Notre Dame guy, because they were Notre Dame perverts.
Yeah,
he's fine in a role, but I don't know. Yeah. Ryan Green's been okay.
He's been okay. Yeah,
yeah, he's been all right. Doesn't look completely horrible.
All right, real quick one, last one, since we're running long here. Of course,
running free.
Obligatory Yasuda's family mention. Mark would like to know our thoughts on the Avalanche quote-unquote throwback Nordique sweater.
Bullshit.
Nope. You're not the Nordiques. You don't get to use it. And bullshit. The Canes aren't the Whalers. Once you move, that's it. You're a new team. Fuck new you. Thing.
It will look great, but it is demonic.
Not the point.
Not the point. No.
It is evil.
You forfeited.
It's done. So you forfeited. You left that all behind. Every move should be like the Ravens and the Browns. You leave that record, that history, and the city you are now leaving, and you are something new.
Yes.
Yeah, the Ravens don't wear the Colts jerseys.
Right. They don't wear the Browns jerseys.
Right.
Like, if the Thunder wore Sonics jerseys, they should bomb the stadium.
Right.
Well, while they're in it.
Just as long as
that history, didn't they?
I believe so. Well, but then do the old, the original Winnipeg Jets are now with the current Jets, those records, and then it's just the Coyotes and the Mammos.
No, the Mammos are a completely separate thing. They're their own thing. They're not even the Coyotes. It doesn't matter. The Coyotes are left in Phoenix or Scottsdale.
Somebody can revive them and have all their history.
They're going to revive them for reasons no one can identify.
Yeah, at some point, I'm sure.
So that's who they are. The Jets are the Jets.
Gary Quixote's got a tilt at those Glendale windmills.
You don't get to where that's insulting to. And I'm sure everyone in Quebec and Hartford is dead who saw these teams. But like, it's not fair to them. You put them through enough. So nope. Can't do it. All right, we've given you Nordiques thoughts, we've given you Bears and Hawks thoughts, and John Wayne Gacy is a Bears fan thoughts. What else could you ask of us?
Too much Wani.
Too much. That's what John Wayne Gacy was saying. So that's it for us. For Slack, for John, for Matt, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. It actually does help us. Until next week, Top Guys out.